blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Everybody wants to subtract my blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Blackness, 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 blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Everybody wants to subtract my blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Blackness, blackness, blackness.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Other Experience. Today, we have an amazing guest. She is a woman of many talents. She is the host of Think Different TV, the host of, in my opinion, a singer. Welcome, LaShia. Did I miss anything? Did I get everything there?
Wrestling fan, massage therapist. Like, it's like, what don't you do? I'm like, when do I ever get some sleep? You know?
Yeah.
All
yeah. Oh man. Well, thank you so much for joining for this episode of The Other Experience. And let's get straight to it. So we talked a little bit. You know what this podcast is all about. It's about Black identity. It's about non-stereotypical blackness, the complexities and the heaviness that comes with being Black in America and being a Black individual. And, you know, we've hung out before. We both are pro wrestling fans. And one of the things I was thinking about actually is, you know, as pro wrestling fans, you know, anyone that watches pro wrestling, you're exposed to all types of stuff watching that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. All types of characters, all types of music.
We experienced a little bit of racism back in the 2000s.
Right.
And we just kind of was like, you know what? That's the wrestling. You know?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of
we let Vince slide on a lot of things.
yeah. Watching Vince McMahon back in the day, many things probably wouldn't go well today, but we grew up in that crazy era. So, aside from that, let's get to it. So being Black, especially in America, comes with, as I said, like greatness, heaviness, and a lot of stereotypes and expectations. Can you recall any experiences you've had where you were expected to come across or be a certain way because you're Black or because you're a Black woman? And if so, how'd you feel about that?
Wow. It's a loaded question.
take your time. So
the thing about it is that stereotypically, Black women are confrontational. We are argumentative. And so sometimes, you know, people expect me to be confrontational. I don't know why, but they either don't want to come to me when they have a valid issue that they want to discuss, or they're already geared up to knuckle if they are going to confront me with an issue. And it's so funny because it's like, I don't even roll like that. Now, if you talk about my sister, she definitely rolls like that. But I'm the type of person, I like to talk things through. I like to figure out where your head is. Why are you doing that? Now, if somebody's swinging on me, it ain't no disgusting nothing. But if you have a valid issue with me, just come and talk to me. But people automatically think that I'm going to get upset or, you know, brush them off or give them all this. And I'm like, no, first of all, my neck hurts. Second of all, my body be doing things like when you get up and you know you start hurting in places you ain't know you could hurt. So I ain't doing all that. And they expect me to talk a certain way. They expect me to to speak like, "What's up, girl?" Da, da, da. I don't talk like that. I'm sorry, maybe I live in like North Philly. I'm like a Valley girl that lives in North Philly. Like I was just dropped here, you know?
A Valley girl that was dropped in North Philly.
Like I'm like lost. I feel like an alien, you know, because there's certain things and certain characteristics that even I see in my community that I'm like, I would never act like that. It just is not in my character to behave like that. But that comes with good upbringing and being taught manners and but that's not a color thing. That's like a person thing. Like you learn to be a better person, and a better person is not this color nor this color. It's just, you know, it's whoever decides to be a good person. And there's a lot of people that decide to be good people and a lot of people that decide to be bad people. But going back to the question, like that was the main thing, is that people expect me to be confrontational. And so, and to always, even in relationships, even this one I said is like a big old can of worms. Even in a relationship with a black man. Let's get into it. When you're in a relationship with a black man, what I'm hearing a lot circulating is, I don't want to date a black woman because of this. And I'm about to be a passport bro. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And passport bros actually, like, they don't want to deal with American women. But, you know, dealing with black women is like, black men, they don't want to mess with us unless they want someone to be down with the struggle. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't want to struggle my whole life. I don't know what you thought this was, but don't come to me when you on your last and then be like, oh, well, you ain't holding us down. We supposed to stick together and hold each other down. Like, dude. But I feel like I'm going into a little bit of a tangent, but I feel like a lot of black men nowadays, they don't want to date black women because they feel like we're going to be cussing them out. And there are black women that cuss people out. They do. But there's white women that cuss you out. And then you got Latina, Hispanic women cussing you out, and they can cuss you out in a different language. So you don't even know what they're saying. All you know is that chicleta is flying at your head. And you're like, what the heck is going on? You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is that I noticed that it's like, you know, they automatically say, we're in this bubble. We're in this bubble. And they don't even want to try to separate the person from the stereotype. They want to keep you in that bubble. The only ones that want to focus on the person you are is the person that actually wants to get to know you. And I've learned to just focus on those people instead of the people that decide to dwell on negative stereotypes. I don't know if I answered your question, but I just kind of went into a tangent.
Right. I just want to say obviously I'm not a woman, but I definitely hear the frustration and the annoyance in what you're talking about. And from a path of empathy, I can definitely, you know, feel you from that, if that makes any sense. Because, you know, I know how frustrating it can be to already have those assumptions placed upon you before you even open your damn mouth. And that's not fair to you as a person. Like, for example, you know, I never thought that about you when I met you. I don't know. Like, it's interesting how people will play. It's just crazy how, don't want to call it a disease or don't want to, like, it's just crazy how the symbols and the manipulation of stereotyping and all that comes with
the programming.
The programming. Thank you. The programming. Yeah. And it's not right. And unfortunately the shrapnel that can be caught from that you know, it goes to all of us, which is a part of the reason that why, you know, why this podcast is taking place. So I definitely, you know, don't, this is the space where when I ask the questions, you answer them and go off how you want to go off. It's welcome, and you know, bring the smoke on that front.
Absolutely. I'm here. Yeah.
So with what you were talking about with those frustrations and those experiences that you had, saying that you're a Valley girl placed in North Philly.
Yes,
that's a bar
in North Philly. I'm sorry, I gotta rep for my North Philly. I'm in North Philly, mm-hmm. And so, you know, first of all, you want to break it down. Like Philly, you know, certain areas of Philly has their certain stereotypes, right?
Right.
So people see I'm from North Philly, they expect me to act a certain way too. So then, it just trickles down. You know, you got you're black, then you're a black woman. Then you're a black woman from North Philly. They're like, oh, don't want to mess with her. You know, she probably got like 5-6 baby daddies. And I'm like, no.
Right.
I have one child, one father of my child. Mm-hmm. I'm not. And that's another thing. Ooh, just light bulb just went off. So that's one major stereotype that I get frustrated with all the time. People asking me, well, how many kids do you have? Okay. The first question is, okay, I have one child. All right. Okay. And is the father around?
Yeah, I can just.
I'll be like.
Yeah. Like, it's like, don't you want to know who, it's like, don't you want to say hi to me?
Or why don't you ask, like, how old
how are you doing?
Is it a boy or girl? Yeah, how old is he? Like,
congratulations, it's like, for having a kid. I don't know. Like, wow. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. He's in his son's life. Very much so. Like, why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be? Okay. Right. All right.
So, Lashia, like, with all that you have mentioned thus far, being, you know, all those subsets of stereotyping, you broke that down. You like subsets of stereotyping, like one A, one B, one C, one D. You just broke that down, right? With your interests and how you hold yourself and the experiences you encounter based on the community that you're in and being a black woman, sometimes do you feel like you're kind of lonely in that space? Does that make sense when I ask that? Do you feel like kind of like sometimes maybe you're stuck between a rock and a hard place because you have your particular, you know, you said that, you know, it's like you're a black Valley girl dropped in North Philly. And you're gonna like what you like pro wrestling. I mean, as a fellow pro wrestling fan, you know, there's all there's metal, rap, there's classical, there's all types of music that like every pro wrestling fan knows the themes. I mean, duh, all that stuff. You know, and you being an eclectic person yourself with different types of interests, like, you know, and people, be it unfortunately black or white or non-black, what have you, having, you know, their assumptions on you based on, you know, where you're from or, you know, being a black woman. Does that make sense? Like, does that make you feel kind of like siloed in a little bit sometimes? And with that said, like, what is it? Can you describe that? Like, how does that make you feel when you're in those moments?
So here's the thing. I think I'm at that age now where it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter, right? but also it does matter to a certain degree in certain settings. Mm-hmm. Like I work at a job and I have, like, it's a good mix of people. It's a good mix of different ethnic backgrounds and everything like right. that, which is amazing. But there's still some times where it does feel a little bit like it's not as bad as it used to be. Because I used to work at this same exact location years ago, mm-hmm. but I was at another location, same company. I'm not going to say what the company is, but same company at a different location. And I always got that angry Black woman stereotype put on me at this, at that location.
At a professional location.
In a professional location.
Setting.
Hated it. Mm. I hated it.
So now we're going corporate. Now we're going in the workplace.
We want to take a trip, okay? Ooh. So they always wanted to use that A word with me. Aggressive. Mm-hmm. I'm aggressive because I voice my opinion about certain things that just ain't right. And it's crazy because other people will be about the same stuff. But I'm like, y'all need to stop amongst yourselves, because the only way it's going to change is if y'all talk to the manager about it. And me thinking I'm being the voice of the people. I was the voice of the people, and then the people disappeared. As soon as I start speaking up about certain things, and I'm like, but they, where the hell did they go? They, who's they? They was thinking the same thing that I was saying. They mm-hmm. been saying the same thing. But that's kind of the thing that we fall into. We always want to be the voices of reason, because we very well are. Mm-hmm. We know how to call bull, bull. You get what I'm saying? We don't mix words. We come in with our words and we tell you straight like it is. And it may not always be nice. Mm-hmm. Like, some people are so fragile. And I'm going to have to say that, because I'm not aggressive. You're fragile. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you can't handle a little bit of spice, you need to get out the daggone kitchen. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating when you're talking nice to people. And as soon as they sense that you're raising your voice just a little bit. Oh, calm down, Kai. Calm down. Calm down. Now, they call me Kai in my professional setting. That's why I said that. Calm mm-hmm. down, Kai. You know, it's not even that serious. It's not even that serious. What are you talking about? Why are you making it seem like I'm yelling up and down the street? Why are you making it seem like I'm throwing stuff around? Why are you making it seem like I'm this crazy person when I just came to you with an issue that needs to be addressed? Why are you talking about some calm down? What is there to calm down from? Am I up? I didn't know I was up. Because I could be up. I could turn it up. I didn't know I was reaching a certain decibel with you that you were feeling uncomfortable. And that's the thing. Some people, like I said, they're so fragile that they don't know how you just touch them and they break like that daggone glass that you just tap it and they just, she talked to me so, she has a problem. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. And you're like, geez, I just told you that the bathroom was out of toilet paper. Like, all upset. And then you got to realize it's not your responsibility to, you know, cater to their fragility. You have to be who you are. And you can't cater to them tears. What? I drank them up. And my thing different TV cut. Listen.
Now, if I may ask.
Yes.
Now, if I may ask, judging by you're talking about fragility and tears, was this boss white or this person?
Absolutely.
White? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. And see, I was, you know, yeah, she was.
Oh, in this space, you can, you know, it's encouraged. Okay. All
yeah, she was a white lady. She was a white lady. She wanted everybody to be her friend.
Okay.
And she had to realize real quick that if I'm coming here to do a job and get paid for said job, clock in, clock out, go home. Right. There is no like hanging out at the bars afterward. There is no, like, I have a whole baby to get home to. Like, what am I doing hanging out with you? Exactly. Like, what am I doing hanging out with you? And because certain people did not want to double the responsibility, they didn't want to be both their worker bee and their friend, now they're a problem. It's all cool when we all smiles and we sitting around and we having drinks, because I should have known it was a problem, because they used to have these team building parties.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for those, because they try to see who get the most messed up. They try to see who they can have dirt on later on. They try to see, like, they try to pick your brain while you're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They try to do the most at these team building parties. And,
it sounds like a pretty deceitful work culture there.
It is. It very much is, because they figure, oh, you know, we're trying to build this team and we're trying to make everybody feel like it's a family. But that quiet racism, don't say family to me. That quiet racism is very loud and is saying that they can.
Yeah.
They're not like us. Like, you know, listen, it is so crazy, because sometimes all your skin folk ain't your kin folk. And I learned that too, being in that environment, because girl, darker complected than me, oh, she was kissing ass up in there. And they loved her. Oh, they loved her. You know, I'm just no ass. I'm already working my ass off.
So am I, from what you're explaining and, you know, this story right here, in my cinematic mind right now, I feel like in this plot, just ride with me here. I'm being figurative. Okay. You're going about your business, just, you know, trying to making ends meet for what you got to do for your responsibility with your child and your family and your life and whatnot. And you're about your business, you're approachable, you do, you know, but when things are need to be addressed, you address them. And on that's one end, and on the other end, there are people who sound like, according to what you're saying, they more or less want to kiss the boss's ass. Is that
they do?
Okay.
They want to skate by, they want to do what they want to do, they want to call out and but they so cool with the bug, but like, oh well, I'll just drop them clients on Kai real quick, because she hung over from the night before and we had such a good time. What? Like, this is so crazy. But I think I don't want to get all into my work drama, but what I do want to go back to is that the aggressive title that's placed on a lot of Black women in the, not only the professional space, but also in hospital settings.
Everywhere. It's not everywhere. I feel like it's everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. All types.
It's everywhere. It's like my mom is the sweetest woman you could ever meet. And she has concerns that she voices very eloquently and much more calm than I can ever. And they still find a way to make her seem like she's the angry Black woman, because she is the only Black woman in that professional setting. So anytime she raised, that's why a lot of Black people got into a habit of not saying nothing. Oh, I saw it. I ain't saying nothing. It ain't my problem. This, that, and third. Because every time someone does speak up about something, they get labeled the angry Black woman or the angry Black man. And it ain't nothing sweet about being in that position, because everything you say, no matter how nice you say it,
doesn't matter.
No matter how much sugar you coat it up with,
right?
They're going to find a way to make it seem like you are having a bad day. And which brings me to the situation that I saw. I saw a clip. It was from a show called Airplane. I don't know if you've ever seen that show. But it's just a show about, you know, the everyday ins and outs of certain airports and, you know, people that miss flights and this, that, and third. They decided to make a reality show out of it. Well, it was this Black man who said, and this was long ago, but it was this Black man who was on an episode, and I think it was Southwest, or it was one of those Southwest Airlines.
Okay.
And he was talking calmly, but because he was a tall Black man and he was a little upset, and there was these short little white women.
Oh my god. Like, everyone's freaking out. Yeah. Oh man, I can't even imagine.
Here's how they did him so dirty. I'm gonna tell you exactly the scenario. He was in line. He was waiting. Everybody is getting ready to board onto the bus. So you know when you're getting on the plane. When you're about to get on the plane, you have a certain letter and a certain number, yep. Right? And so this lady, they're all standing in line. This lady just gets in front of him. Doesn't say anything, doesn't. So he was like, hey, you know, you jumped in front of me in the line. And she just started, white lady, she just started going off on him, started cussing at him and stuff. Now, this is his story. Now, nobody else backed him up. I don't know if this is what the actual, but he was so upset about it. I was like, I can't see it not being the truth, because
and why is
they
that?
Literally right. Came down like this. So he didn't have a time to sit up there and oh, what am I going to say? It happened so fast that people was over there because he's, again, this big Black man. And so the lady said something to him, and then he was like, hey, like, you're not going to talk to me like that. And so she automatically turned on the tears. And then that's when the people came over, and then they started saying, we're not going to let you get on this flight, to the man. He was like, why? What did I do? Because I'm upset and I voiced my opinion about something, and I said she was wrong for jumping in front of me. I can't board on the flight. They said, well, people feel threatened by you. And he was with his sister, and his sister was like, who feels threatened? Like, what are we talking about? Who are these people that feels that he's being a threat?
Right. He's just talking about someone budging in front of him. Why is this escalating? That's crazy.
And they went and talked to the lady, and the lady was like stumbling over her words and everything. Like, it's clear that this lady is lying, because he spoke his case so clear and concise. And you know what the one lady said to him that works with the airlines? Sir, please calm down. There's nothing worse than being told to calm down when you're already calm, because you're like, what in their mind is saying that I'm being hyper,
right?
And then when you decide to be like, well, is this calm enough for you? Now they say you're being condescending. Now they're saying you're being a smart ass. Well, we're just trying to help you, sir. But if you're going to be that way, well, wait a minute. You just said that I needed to calm down. I said, is this calm enough for you? And now you're saying that I'm unhelpable because I sound condescending and all this stuff, but I'm just trying to match whatever energy you're trying, but their energy is all over the place. So you're never going to match their energy. Their energy is like they already have this preconceived notion, going back to stereotypes. They already have this preconceived notion of who you are because of how you look and what, like, he's tall. He's a tall black man. So they already on some stuff like, He can pull out a gun and shoot everybody. This at a third. How do you get in an airport with a gun? Come on, can we be for real?
Exactly.
Can we be for real? There's no way he's gonna have a weapon on him. No Y'all would have caught him from the door. Yep. Okay.
No chance.
Like, can we stop, please? And it was just so upsetting because they really made this man miss his flight home. Because and then he was like, well, can you tell me what I did wrong that y'all are not letting me catch this flight? And he was so, like, it made me mad because I'm just like, are we looking at the same clip? And I was also upset that it was other people standing there. And I'm the type of person that if I was there, I would have been like, let me, because I know how to speak their language. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Is there a problem over here? I just want to figure out something real quick. You're saying that this man right here, he was giving problems? Oh, well, I was there the whole time and I saw her over there. She was just yelling and getting loud with him for no reason. I mean, it made me feel threatened. You know, she was up there raising her voice and she was, I could turn on the tears too, honey. Don't play with me. Don't get it twisted. I would have been up there defending at me. But see, a lot of people, it was like, well, I don't want to get kicked off the plane too if I go stand up for him. And like, so it was so upsetting to watch that clip when you
that
get a chance.
Awful.
Yeah.
See, I guess, yeah, send me a link to that when you can, because I have a feeling I'm going to be like mad. Like, when watching our people in media sometimes, whether it's reality or some movies, sometimes I got to be in a space sometimes to watch certain things. Like, I don't know about you, but I was talking to one of my good friends, and I think like I saw like a trailer for some like or a commercial for some movie about slavery again, and I'm like, damn, man. Like another one. Our people have innovated. We've been kings, we've been queens, we've invented like some of the world's greatest materials and greatest things all over the world. Like, you know, we dominate so many fields, but mm-hmm. we're gonna see a freaking another movie on slavery. Like, I was just like, man, like I'm just, you know.
Wait a minute, JB. It's going to be a good slave movie because at the end, they get freed and then they get to go to the North and they get to be free and start their families and everything like that. And they don't have to be with the man anymore with the slave on. Yo, right. I'm like, stop trying to pacify me.
Right.
Stop trying to do that. Like, I don't, like, they had a whole Harriet movie, right? And they're like, you know, but it's a tale about a strong black woman who helped people. You know, I'm like, but it's still about slavery.
Right.
It's still about, like, I think that her story needs to be told. But,
legendary. We all know that. Yeah, but I know what you mean.
But it's like
another one? Yeah, I know.
Did we need 12 years a slave?
Right.
Did we need the one that Will Smith was in?
Yeah. The one with Matthew McConaughey, that one. That was the one where I was like, really? Like, it was just like, I'm like, all right, guys. Like,
but let me tell you why Will did that one. Because in real life, he is a slave.
Oh,
after that slap, He became a slave to public opinion.
Yeah.
And he lost a lot of jobs. Now he getting back up there. But I feel like it was art imitating life, because he was like, "Dad, a nigga can't get a break.
Right, right.
Somebody, I can't get a break." and so he was like, nigga. Should do a slave movie.
Right. Oh man. You know, it's crazy. That incident happened a bit ago. Also awesome. Now we're talking about pop culture. Didn't actually expect this to happen. Will Smith had done so. Look, when that happened, I think from my point of view, he had a crappy moment at probably the worst possible time. But he's done so much good. I'm like, damn. Like, yes, he had a bad moment. It's not good what happened. For everybody, it's not good. Okay, we get it. But like, he's done so much. He's done so much good. He's done so many positive things. He's done things for the Philadelphia community. He's been a positive figure for decades now. He's been an A-lister who rarely ever, if ever, I think what happened there was the first time in any medium at all that he's done anything bad, and we're just gonna crucify him like that. I was like, damn.
You wanna know why?
Like some of the worst people out there, like they just could. I guess the people will be like, oh well, we expect that him to be like that because that's how he is, and that's why when people who mess up all the time, you know, we have lower expectations for them, and I'm just like, what? Like, I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
Will Smith was the safe Negro. What do I mean by that?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean by that, but well, definitely go on.
Well, we had Sidney Poitier. He was He was a safe Negro. He was the type that he was the one that they referenced when they said, I got black friends. You know,
well, that's a whole nother, that we can go into that topic.
But I'm gonna be real with you. Sidney Poitier grew up in a different time than Will Smith. He had to do what he had to do to get the parts that he got
in an incredibly, incredibly racist landscape. Insane.
Exactly.
Got
and Will Smith
geniuses being freaking. Oh my gosh, I get sick thinking about that. The early mm-hmm. Hollywood and black roles. But go ahead.
And then you got Will Smith, who was the next generation of safe Negro. I mean, he was in Independence Day. He was the man of July. He had a movie dropping every July.
They used to call it Big Willie Weekend. I love Will Smith.
But the
Will
crazy Smith, thing yeah. about it is that on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they explored a lot of topics. Well, when the old Aunt Viv was on there, they explored a lot of topics that shed light on stuff that was not talked about. The whole episode where, you know, Will and Carlton get arrested, they get pulled over, mm-hmm. you know, and Carlton like, I don't understand, because I don't have money, and you know, my dad is this, and you know, like.
Then he realizes that you know, Will has to let him know it doesn't matter.
Will is like,
that means nothing.
You're black, Carlton. Yeah. You're black. Like, and that's crazy. Does money just make the color go away? Well,
never.
Apparently not. Because now we see the whole thing with Diddy and you know, all these things happening right now. And you know, what he did was not cool. It was not cool at all. We do not condone that type of stuff. But it's just crazy how... Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm getting it.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I actually wanted to... you mentioned you were calling Sidney Poitier, legendary, rest in peace, Sidney Poitier. And Will Smith, Safe Negroes. I want to go further into that, because there have been, you know, there have been times in my life where I've heard that term, not Safe Negro, but I know exactly what you mean by that, because having been around non-Black people and white people throughout life, and having that, I've gotten wind and the experience, unfortunately, of maybe people saying some stuff that I know they wouldn't say around other Black people and everything like that. And it's made me feel many types of ways. Has that ever happened? Has that ever in any way, shape, or form kind of happened to you or anybody that you know throughout your life?
Ooh, okay.
And when that happened, if that happened, how did that make you feel, or how did that make your friend feel?
Okay, so I'ma just speak in, because I haven't had it happen to me. But I've seen scenarios where you're around non-Black people and they'll say, oh my gosh, Black people are so ghetto. But not you. You're so, like, you're nothing like them.
Mm-hmm.
What you mean?
I vomit in my mouth when I hear things like that.
What's it mean?
That's a part of the reason why this podcast exists, because getting to the nitty-gritty of things like that in particular.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, why do they always have to have their hair like that? Oh, but when you wear your hair like that, like, it looks great on you. But when they wear their hair like that, it's like, what do you mean?
Like, so you've heard people. So correct me if I'm wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Let me know if I'm on the right track here. That you've overheard that in your.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I've been in situations where, you know, people say, oh, you know, Black people are so loud and everything like that, and they speak so ghetto, but you don't, you know, you don't. Thank God you don't, because I understand what you're saying.
Like, as if like the C's part, and like it's like a big like, oh, like to the,
like if they just said, like if they, like, just,
it's,
said,
it's so insulting. Yeah.
Yeah, like if they just said, like, some people are just so uneducated and they don't know how to speak properly, but I never had to worry about that with you because you're so intelligent and everything like that. But it's always like that Black throwing. Yep. Like, let me throw that Black in there real quick.
let me throw a little seasoning. Yeah.
Hey, like, I don't understand it. I really don't. It's really upsetting, because it's like, because then what do you say to that? What do you say to that?
Oh, well, if you're that's a good question.
How do you combat that? Like, I don't.
It's funny you're mentioning that. I will step in this moment to explain how I in particular have combated it. I have experienced things such as what you just mentioned. Maybe not exactly like word for word, but pretty under the same umbrella of what you talked about. And it happened to me so much, not only from white people, but from Black people, which hurt way more ever than white people.
Oh, wow.
and non-Black people, to be blatantly honest. So it's like I have had to forge, I don't want to say a defense mechanism, but I always have to kind of be ready to, I've just kind of evolved throughout life to be ready to combat and shut down any instances where that might happen. It doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened where I've had other people around me be surprised at how quick I will clap back when I hear, because people think their guards down, they think they can get away with just saying anything. And sometimes people just need to be humbled and checked in regards to that. I'll explain an example, because you asked, me and a friend and some other people, we were going to like a late night club or whatever in Philly. And this is years ago, but there was a song that I knew there was some song being played on the radio. That was or some playlist we were coming in. I think it was by like Korn, or it was by like some new metal band or something like that. And I think like I named the song or I said something, and some guy, you know, I think the bouncer basically tried to, you know, make a side comment being like, oh man, like that's so, you know, that's so white and stuff like that. And I was like, I forget exactly what I said, but I clapped back very, very quickly. And I said, basically like, shut up, stop being so ignorant. And by the way, black people created rock and roll. So I like, it was just really like, yeah. It was just really quick. And my friend, whatever I said, I don't know if that's exactly what I said, but whatever I said, I just remember my friend being like, dude, holy shit. Like what you said though, like he didn't know what to say in that moment, kind of like what you were saying, like, so, you know, or the person you were explaining, it's like, what do you say to that? Right. Sometimes yeah. with a lot of this stuff, it catches you because we're just trying to, you know, we're black human beings. We're black, but we're human beings, right? We're just trying to go about our day and live life how we live it, and just go, like, we have ups and downs like anybody else, and we have our interests like anybody else. We're not all not there's not just one black experience, right? That's that's the whole moral of everything that I'm I'm trying to get to, the, you know, the nitty gritty of with this. So, you know, it's really interesting that we have to not only be on guard for racism daily at any moment, but unfortunately also have to be, you know, have those other side comments attacking, like inadvertently attacking,
be subjected to side prejudices, to side racism,
microaggressions, side judgment about how you are. And when, you know, and it's nothing to do with us. It's just based on other people's like stereotypical assumptions and programming, as we said earlier, right?
Absolutely.
So another question I had for you is, talked about a lot already. So being a woman of color, being a black woman, have you in particular experienced sexism and racism at the same time? And when that happened, how did that make you feel, if that happened? And do you know that anyone that's happened to?
Well, so going back,
what's your thoughts in general, even if not?
Yeah, so going back to like the professional setting, but then there's also the hospital setting, right?
Right.
So, I did a whole show about this, you know, Think Different TV, you know. I did a whole show about the racism that black women face in the hospital settings, and how it's important to advocate for ourselves, because a lot of times we're told that we don't know what we're talking about. we go in there and we say we have definite pain. They don't think that we feel pain. And this goes back hundreds of years, where they was, experimenting on black women without anesthesia, operating on them, trying to find cures for certain cancers, using black women as guinea pigs.
Yep.
Essentially. And so right now.
Disgusting. It just makes me sick. Oh.
And now it's not even as extreme as that. I mean, in some states it still happens. But in the hospitals, in healthcare, we still face those problems. You know, black women come in here and they say, you know, something's really wrong. Like, I can't breathe. I can't da da da. And they'll say, okay, we'll run a few tests, this, that, the third. And then they were like, oh, well, it's nothing really wrong. You can go home, this and the third. And then the next thing you know, 3 days later, the lady passed away. And then they do a screen or whatever, and they say, wait a minute, it was this happening all along. And I had to tell someone recently. I want to tell who the person is, but I had to tell this person, advocate for yourself, ask questions. Don't just accept what they tell you, because I've known so many. Okay, I'm gonna use this example. Halle Berry, and I don't know if this was part of my. Halle Berry went to the hospital, and she was experiencing vaginal dryness, mm-hmm. and so she went to go get checked up. And the doctor did, I don't know what kind of test he did, but he came back and told her that she had herpes. Mm-hmm. She said, I have herpes? What? What are you talking about? Like, so she went and got a second opinion. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, she was experiencing vaginal dryness because of perimenopause. Mm. So you have all these health professionals. And what made me really be like, that's crazy, because this is Halle Berry. This is not
icon.
You know, and she got money. And I'm sure she is paying these doctors something major to get checked out. You feel me? And to be told it was one thing, that it wasn't, and to know that that doctor was so inexperienced to not even know anything about women health. Like, why are y'all still operating off of the 1896 manual of healthcare? Like, why are we still doing this? It's 2024. Like, right. How come y'all are not educating yourselves? And you know what makes me mad? They're like, oh, I did my school and I'm done. Every 2 years as a massage therapist, I have to take continual education classes. I
always have to keep learning.
Every two years. I have to always keep up with what's in the know about massage therapy. These healthcare professionals that get grandfathered in and don't have to do all that extra stuff, because they did enough schooling. But you talk about people that went to school back in the 70s, the 60s, that's still in healthcare today, that don't know the new medicine and the new things that's happening with women and Black women and the evolution exactly of healthcare. You're not educating yourself on any of this stuff. You're like, the old way will do. That's like, mom, I think my arm broken, take some Tylenol, go lay down. Like, no, we cannot keep doing it. And I feel like, just like women get it bad, Black women get it way worse. And that's because when we come in here and we're saying something is wrong, we're being aggressive. We're being doing too much. Just like the woman, it was a doctor that was on Real Housewives or whatever. I don't know, one of them shows, one of them reality shows.
One of the 15,000 of those shows, yeah.
Yeah, right, 50-11 of them. And she was doing a podcast, and the lady just asked her a simple question. She said, why do you think that there is a disparity in, you know, Black women getting health care? Like, why do you think that the rates are high for mortality for Black women during pregnancy, and for Black women during pregnancy? Why do you think all this stuff? And the lady, instead of just saying, there are a lot of healthcare professionals that are uneducated in Black and women healthcare, a lot of healthcare professionals that don't know how to deal with Black women in healthcare, that don't want to listen to Black women when something happened. She had all these different things that she could have said, but she said, sometimes when Black women come in, they be making a lot of fuss about nothing. So and this is a Black woman. I'm like, what? Hold up. She's like, sometimes they just, they go off on health professionals and they'll try to talk. Lady. And so here we are. It's one of us telling the world that this is how you should treat Black women because we do too much. Don't listen to them because they do too much. And this is coming from another Black woman. Sometimes Black women within our community is like, sometimes, you know, of course we can't depend on non-Black people. We can't depend on them to have our backs. We really want us to have each other's backs. What ends up happening is that this fool comes out of nowhere, and then white people like, see, I told you. See, even they saying it. Even they are saying it. Even that, look, I told you. Bill, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you the other day? Yo, you owe me $5. I told you.
Sadly, you know? That's all it takes. Yeah.
It's crazy. It is really crazy. You can spend years building a building. And all it takes is one little bomb to take it down.
Exactly.
And it can happen in a second. And you never know. It is like we try years and years and years to get people just to listen to us. Just to listen to us. Not even make changes and do all this stuff. We can't even get people to listen to us, which is so crazy. We spend years and years just to have a voice. That's why they had the Black Lives Matter movement and all of that. Just to have a voice. Because they spent so many years trying to take our voice away. And I said, try, because we're still out here saying something, right? But they spent so many years trying to take our voice away, and we are spending so much time trying to get people to listen to us. And then it takes one person just to set us back. So now we got to get back on track. Okay, how do we get people to start listening to us again? We ain't even voice our concerns yet. It's like getting to the door and be like, come on, just let me in so I can, just let me in so I can tell you everything, da, 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 da. But you're still on the other side of the glass. You didn't even get in the room yet. And then you're standing at the door, and then somebody do something stupid, and now you got to move 5 feet away from the door.
Frustrating.
And then it's going to take years and years and years to walk back towards that door to start knocking again. And it's crazy that we have to go through that as Black people. And then as Black women, especially, you know, the women movement. Now is this whole thing, did an episode about this too, where they can't even give you a definition of what a woman is. They keep telling you a woman is someone who identifies as a woman. Giving you that circular definition where you don't even know, like, okay, but what is a woman? Is someone who identifies as a woman? No, because what are you saying you identify as? What does that look like? If you say you identify as a table, what kind of table are you identifying as? Are you talking about a three-legged table, a four-legged table? Are you talking about a side table? You will be able to describe what that is. We're facing that. Then it seemed like a lot of the people that be fighting publicly about that whole situation be Black women. Because when they decide to become women, they often look to us to be the picture of the woman that they want to be. they want to look like Beyonce. They want to look like Rihanna. They want to look like Black women. They want to wear their hair like Black women. They want to wear the clothes like Black women. They want to have the BBLs. They want to have the big butts and the big lips and the big titties like Black women. And so we out here being told, well, not we, but Just Hilarious is being told she look like a man anyway. She's a woman.
Exactly.
She's advocating for other women who have to deal with this foolishness on a regular basis. And no shade to the movement of the LGBTQ community. But when you start saying, oh, we're going to call y'all cis women and we're trans women to clearly have a divide. No, the only divide that, well, not divide, the only thing that needs to be is that you put trans in front of women for you. Because you don't have to say I'm a cis nothing. I'll be a sister. But I ain't no cis woman. Okay? And we fight that fight. We fight the fight of being told we're like they want so badly to be like us, but they don't want us to be us.
See, and right there is a really, really great point that I want to delve into. It's funny, you mentioned earlier, everyone wants to be a part of the culture. Everyone wants the amenities that comes with the culture. Everyone wants to look like us, walk like us, dress like us, sound like us, everything us, right? But when shit hits the fan, oh no, I'm not them. Like, you know, and it's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, everybody want to be Black until it's time to be Black. So, it takes me to this. I don't know if you ever seen I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Oh yeah, classic movie.
It's this scene where Keenan Ivory Wayne's character is meeting up with Clarence Williams III's character, the one that's married to Marsha Brady in the movie. And I'm not Marsha, Jan. Sorry, my apologies. Jan Brady, Eve Plum. And he goes to him and he's like, we got to fight. We got to do this. Da, da, da. And he's explaining the movement to the guy. And the guy's getting hype. And he's like, yes, yes. And he was like, so will you help us? And he was like, well, no. That's how I feel when it comes to the whole, we want to emulate your culture and be that way until it's time to be there. It's like
culture.
I love your hair. I love this. I love that. Well, will you come and march with us, you know, on behalf of Marcellus? I forgot I got stuff to do.
I got something to do.
Gonna be able to make that one, you know? And that is so crazy to me because it's like you want so badly to be us, but you don't want to be the other, face that other side of what being us is.
And it's to bridge off what you said, like, yeah, it's like, once again, you want the fun, you want the entertainment, you want the, you know, you want the ride that comes with Black culture, but when it comes to, you know, the pain involved in being Black in America and the heaviness that comes with that, all of a sudden, you know, now I will say there are plenty of white and non-Black people who don't know what it's like at all, but they do have empathy for what our people have struggled with and been struggled with and been under immense strife with over, you know, forever. So I wanted to actually ask another question. How do you feel when Black people, when our people denounce our own people? How does that feel to you?
Like what kind of denounce we talk about? We talk about Candace Owens type of denounce. So we talk.
That's a good. No, that's a. Yeah, that's what a great talking question. About? That's a. There's what different. There's different media. There's different variations.
There's different of levels.
That's, there's different levels of denouncement.
Okay.
Let me. Okay. how do you? Okay. Let me rephrase that. When this would be a two-phase question. When. How does it feel when our people tell our own people what, like, we just choose what is Black and not Black, as if like someone,
okay, I get you.
Like how does that
okay,
feel?
Okay, you talk about the whole Black card type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think that? You know, how does it, why do you think that there's instances where we do that to each other instead of lifting each other up and acknowledging the different, that you can still be, you know, Black and have different interests, but we're all in this together in different lanes. But when it comes down to it, we're all Black in terms of that. Does that make sense? Why do you think, in your opinion, why do you think that there are times where, you know, we criticize each other in regards to that?
Because that's what Black people do.
Oh, damn. That was a quick answer. All right. Well, on.
Sorry. You probably thought I was going to say something deep. Gotcha. We are known to be the jokesters, and we're known to, like, they always say, oh, Black people can never take nothing seriously.
Example. How come? Because I think you saw rapper from Chicago, Jesus Christ,
Kanye?
No, Chance the Rapper. Yeah, so when so it was a post that he put up, and he said he didn't see these movies, and in the comments, all these people were like, oh man, your Black card's gone, and I know people were joking, but from experience, I also know there are people who were not joking. And basically what I'm getting at here is almost like, interesting. So why are we taking away Black cards for someone who didn't see a movie like Waist Deep, but they don't retain the Black card for seeing a movie like The Preacher's Wife? I feel like I'm missing something. Like, why? Does that make sense? I hope I just what's the thought process with this amongst us?
Because because we Black, we supposed to know all the hood movies. I'm gonna tell you right now, I ain't never seen New Jack City. I never had an interest in seeing the movie. And honestly, I don't care if I get canceled with Belly. I ain't like Belly. Mm-hmm. I watched it. I finally gave it a shot. It was a waste of my time, okay? stuff like that do not thrill me. It does not do anything. And that's my own personal preference. It has nothing to do with I'm Black or how did you not like that movie? It's so what? It's so like, what am I supposed to like about it? Like, it made absolutely no sense. It had no plot. It had no, like, I like movies with plots. Like, isn't that... What? That's not a Black thing. I don't know. I watch White Chicks. It had a plot. It was fun. You know, I love the Wayans brothers. You feel me? Mm-hmm. People saying, "Oh, now I will admit, if somebody said they never saw an episode of Martin or they never saw an episode of Living Singles, it's not because they Black. It's just such a popular show."
Well, that's well,
how do you not see a glimpse of it? You get what I'm saying?
LaShia, see, this is actually amazing that you I don't even think you realize how the way you phrased that, it was amazing. You didn't you weren't, you know, you're like, you know what? If you didn't see Martin or Living Single, like, and I love that you mentioned those two iconic shows. I remember when Living Single debuted, when Friends came on, like after Living Single, I'm just like, this is just Living Single. Like not to diss Friends. I'm just saying, like
oh, Living, yeah, I came up with Living Single. It literally is. It's just people, like No Sisters. White, you got
Living Single. Yeah. With you know, but anyway, you didn't come at anyone's blackness. You weren't even going there. You're just like those are really popular shows. Like everyone watched those shows. That's crazy that you didn't watch that show. You're not like attacking their being. I don't know if you realize that, but I'm saying like it was just refreshing to hear that, because in many spaces sometimes, at least through what I've seen, or like I've seen with other friends, or even on the interwebs, I don't, you know, that's...
Oh,
that's,
you heard this, you heard this.
Like
you didn't so. See Martin? You didn't see Martin? Like, how could you not see Martin? You're black. Like, no. You can't get her out of this one. Like, Like, give me a card. Give me a card. Click. Because, like, how could you not have seen Martin? No, it's like... Cause it's no white people out there like, oh, you didn't see Felicity. Like, how can you not see Felicity? Like,
right,
aren't
right.
you white? Look, how did you not see an episode of Dawson's Creek? Oh my gosh, I'm totally gagging right now. Like,
yeah, I don't see. It's what you just telegraphed is what, you know. That was cool. Like I was, you know, that really summed up it, you know, in that question that I was just asking. Like, it's just something to think about, you know. And I think that's why I hope that, and I thank you for being on this, you know, in this space and talking about this, you know, these subjects. Because as you've seen in discussing this and addressing this, it's not always easy to talk about. It's complex in mm-hmm. many ways and all that. I did want to go on the flip side.
When you take an interest in something that a lot of people don't like to watch. Like, for example, I like watching Judge Judy. All right. Look at you laughing.
No, that's awesome. I like Judge Judy. I watched Judge Judy and Judge Mathis. I like daytime TV.
Yes. You know? It's like, so the thing that I got when I was dating this one guy, mm-hmm. and I was just watching it on my phone on YouTube, you know. He was like, how could you watch that? And I was like, what? He was like, I just hate how she always talk down to people. And I'm like, she is speaking common sense. Like, like I would want somebody on like her on my team to speak common sense into certain issues, because some things people just be doing, it does not make any sense. Like the one guy, it was this one case, and he said this, it was two guys, and the one guy had a party for his sister. It's his sister's birthday. And then the defendant came to the party. And then somehow or another, he got into an argument with the sister. And then because he got into an argument with the sister, and they beat him up. They got into a fight, and the defendant, like, they beat him up at the party. And so when he left out, he did something to the plaintiff's car, because he was one of the people that was kind of like on the side, not really doing nothing, but he's supposed to be his friend. Mm-hmm. So he did something to his car. So then the plaintiff went and started driving around trying to look for the defendant, in his car because he's mad because his car got vandalized. And he took a wrench or something like, took something out of his car. And he hit the defendant with it. So, but he brought the defendant on there to sue him for the damage to his car. Now, Judge Judy was trying to tell the stupid dude, had he just vandalized the car because he said you had nothing to do with the initial attack when you just kind of stood on the side, which was not cool. But you didn't have anything to do with the initial attack, so he should not have touched your car. But once you went riding around for him and found him and hit him with an instrument, you can't then sue for the damage to your car because you pretty much, like, you messed yourself up. You opted to do street justice instead of just following. And he was like, but he vandalized my car, though. And she was like, I understand it. But he has a counterclaim for his medical bills because you hit him with a wrench. So it was like, common sense was obviously not, it was not there.
Yeah.
I don't even think intelligence was there either. But I just always say, I'm like, how does a show like that make you feel some type of way? Cause she yelling at people. I'm like, that's because y'all caught the 2010 version. Y'all watch when she first started, she was so nice. Yeah. But then those people were working her nerves, okay? Yep. So she was like, y'all getting on my nerves. But getting off of that, I realized that I like a lot of things that are deemed not black, you know? And I'm like,
oh my God. Oh my
God. Are you serious right now? let me throw this in. Okay.
I was being sarcastic.
Think Different TV is a network. And not only do I have the talk show, but I also have a game show. And sometimes I have questions on the game show that deal with certain categories. And when I have categories, and I have black people on the screen, and I say that category, they say, black people don't know nothing about that. So how do you think the black people that do know something about that category is going to feel when they watch that episode, and they're like,
yeah.
So I guess I'm not black. Because I know a lot about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy to me because I'm like, y'all gotta stop saying that stuff like that. Because it's intelligent black people out here that are worldly, that know a lot about certain things.
And all around the world. That's what you're saying,
black people don't know about.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Like hockey or country music. And I'm like, y'all do realize that we're the ones that pretty much got both of those off the ground. So
yes, Lashia, that's the funniest thing of all. See, that's the funniest thing of all. All this stuff that's being labeled as not black enough or whitewash or whatever. It's like, I'm like, doesn't anyone read or look at history? This is all stuff that we created. This is stuff that our people are highly influential in, you know? It's very interesting. Like all around the world, you know.
It's crazy to me, and I just be like, "Yo, y'all gotta stop saying it because I
expand
know
horizons. Expand your horizons, yeah, you know.
Read and expand your horizons, and you know what? And we are so intelligent. We are not only intelligent when it comes to book smarts and stuff like that, we are emotionally intelligent as well. It's actually abnormal for us to not be able to regulate our emotions. You feel me? Like, mm-hmm. we're the ones that if you look at history, who was the one doing the beating and who was the one getting beat?
Right.
But you saying we're the ones that are aggressive?
Exactly. Or
you saying even, we're the ones that's lazy?
Modern times, you know, we're like being labeled the ones with you know, oh man, they might be strapped. But who do we see repeatedly trying to take out politicians or, you know, shoot up schools?
Wait a minute now.
Don't go there. I'm just saying it's something to think about. There has to be some balance here. There has to be some balance here. That's all. There just has to be some balance. That's all. I think that's something that we, you know, we take note of too. It's you know, a little bit of having the same energy would go a long way in this melting pot of a country that you know, that we live in.
Like Donald Trump got almost shot. Well, he got a shot in the ear, and then he got almost shot another time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know, that Trump almost got shot twice. And somebody be like, well, you know, that black on black crime is crazy.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know,
well,
just,
the white on white crime is crazy too.
Like, yeah. There's white on white crime. There's Latino on Latino crime. There's, you know,
it's open. Like,
but when it comes to, you know, it's just so layered and complex when it comes to being black. That's what comes with it. And I just want to thank you for going head on into those layered topics. So one of the last questions I have for you is, what's your personal definition of blackness?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And if someone who's obviously black doesn't meet that definition, what would you say about that individual?
Blackness to me is energy. It's energy. Everything that you feel, everything that you see, you touch, like there is no person I can look at and be like, that's blackness right there.
Who is the deity of blackness? That's episode yeah. Zero. I made a little skit about that. I'll send it to you. It was pretty amusing, but yeah, go on.
but blackness to me is like, I can't say, oh, if you watch a certain amount of hood movies, that's blackness. Or if you wear your hair a certain way, that's blackness. Or if you dress a certain way, that's blackness. It could be influenced by a certain culture. But to say it's blackness, I don't know. Like that's a really, really good question. And I honestly do not have a defined definition for it. I just feel like it's energy.
That's your way of explaining it. There's not just one. See, that's the moral. Being a black person.
Yeah, it's energy. It's just, you know, it's like this gravitational thing. Everybody wants to gravitate towards blackness. They want to. They want to be in it. They want to embrace it. I'm not embracing all that noise in the background right now, but they want to embrace it. They want to be enveloped in blackness. Blackness is warmth. It is a smile in a bunch of frowns. It is sunlight on a cloudy day. It is that rainbow after a really crazy storm. It is unbreakable, unshakable. It is invincible. It is, you know, really, really damn cool. You know, like,
hell yeah. You know,
anytime when you're dealing with money, you never want to be in the red, baby. You want to be in the black. Right?
Bullseye. You,
right? And that's good. That's where you want to be because it's goodness there. So that's what I have to say about blackness.
Bars. Mic drop. Damn. Before we end this amazing conversation, you do so many things and you have that entrepreneurial spirit. That is not like, as someone who has been embarking in that too, you know, just want to give you your flowers in regards to doing that. Cause that is not an easy life.
Thank it
is
you. Not,
you gotta hustle. You have to, it's like, you gotta be on a lot. You have a lot, you have to put out a lot of content and keep thinking, keep creating to compete and just continue to build your audience. It is not, for people out there listening, it is not easy. It's now you're doing it because you love it, and that's the thing, mm-hmm. and that will keep you going. And I know that as a creator as well, but it is not easy. So with that said, what would you say to other Black women who are interested in entrepreneurial entertainment efforts and successes such as yourself? How do you think they should navigate starting their own journeys in, you know, in that world?
So the general thing I would say is to find the need and find a way to be a supplier or the supplier of that need. Like, even in the content creating space, there are spaces not yet filled. So just because someone is doing something you're thinking about doing or has done it does not mean they will do it like you do it, you know, or as long as you do it. Because if you're consistent, that consistency beats out ideas and, oh, I was thinking about doing it every time. Consistency is definitely the key. You know, social media is a very broad category. You know, you may not be the face of the channel, but you could do things like behind the scenes. You could be somebody that is directing something, producing something. You don't have to be in front of the camera, right? And it's funny because sometimes I come up with the best ideas for other people, right? And then they take and they run with it. And I'll be like, dang, like, why didn't I come up with that for myself? So just always, always say to yourself, when it comes to anything that you want to do, you want to stay true to you. Don't let anybody deter you from what you want to do. Because, baby, the people that was in my ear like, you sure you want to do a talk show? You sure you want to do a game show? You sure you want to? You sure you? Yeah, I'm sure. If I wasn't sure, I wouldn't even said it out loud. See, words mm-hmm. are a powerful thing. When you speak it, you're speaking into existence. I said, I'm going to start a talk show. I started a talk show and I am on season 3 of said talk show. I said, I want to start a game show. Guess what? Episode 27 is airing on Tuesday. You feel me? Like mm-hmm. everything that I put out there, it happened. You can speak life into yourself. You can also speak bad over yourself, but you always want to speak life into yourself. You know, don't wait for somebody to be a cheerleader. Be your own damn cheerleader. Because, honey, I've been my own cheerleader several times over. I've mm-hmm. been in situations where people didn't want to even be on my game show, didn't want to watch my talk show. And I still push forward because I was like, I have something magical that people need to see. And if I need help putting this thing together, I'm going to keep going, knocking on every door figuratively, because, you know, I do everything virtually. When I go in every door to get in touch with people who actually want to do and be part of the movement. And what do I do after that? Once those people join in the movement, I focus on those people who are part of the movement. I no longer think about who is not part of the movement, because they ain't part of it. They ain't want to be part of it. So why should they occupy space in my brain? Because all that's going to do is, it's going to make me want to start doubting myself, start feeling some type of way about myself. I don't focus on the people that's not here. I focus on the people that's here. So definitely, if you are somebody that wants to break into social media, content creating, everything like that, consistency is the key. Believe in yourself. Stay true to you. In any business, because I'm also a licensed massage therapist with Wise Choice Massage Therapy, named after my son. You have to also, like I said, find a need and be a supplier or the supplier of that need. I ain't talking about nothing illegal, y'all. Don't be that type of supplier.
Disclaimer.
Be smart about what you're supplying. But definitely, like, there's so many Black women doing great things right now. Did you know that there are more hair care stores being opened up by Black women? And we many times over have gone to other races to get our hair stuff. There are more Black women occupying those type of spaces now that we need to go and support.
Amazing. Yep. Definitely.
Yep. There are doulas, Black women doulas. And doulas are women that help other women and males that help women through the childbirth and all of the appointments and everything that goes with it. They help from the time you say I'm gonna have the baby to the time you had the baby. They even help postpartum. It's more Black women saying we need these services. We can't keep waiting for other people to supply these services for us. They're finding a need and they're filling that space. They're being those people to occupy that space for us and advocate for us. There are more Black women and men doctors going out there getting their doctorate because they realize there is a need for more of us to be the voice of our people in healthcare. There are Black channels that we can put more Black shows on.
Yeah, I will
say some of them are a little ratchet. But hey, there's a guy out there. There's several directors that are giving jobs to Black actors and actresses because they realize a lot of these directors out here, they not giving jobs to us, or they have us in like the craziest roles and they're typecasting us and making us be drug dealers and making us be this. But this one, she's a singer trying to make it, or she, they are creating a different narrative.
Yep. Focusing on all different types of other professions and whatnot, of course. Definitely.
Exactly. And showing everybody out there that we are not to be contained. We are not to be confined to a bubble. We are not to be just put in this box and okay, forget about everything else. Forget about being someone who is a curer of cancer. No, dribble this ball.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, get on the stage and shake your ass. You feel me? Like,
yeah,
we're past that. We're past that. Yes, in the past, that was the only opportunities available for us. But we have to realize that it's 2024. It is not 1924 anymore. Mm-hmm. So we need to get out of that mindset and strengthen your mindset. Make sure you read, make sure you learn, gain knowledge about the world, gain knowledge about what you want to bring to the table, because I'm still learning. Like I said, massage therapy, I have to take continual education on massage therapy. In social media, I'm watching other people, how they do their podcasts and everything like that. What can I take from this? How can I learn? How can I change up a few things? What can I continue to learn? Never think that you know everything.
Exactly.
Oh, people be like, oh, I know everything. I know how to do this. I hate people like that. Shut up.
like, know your role and shut your mouth.
Listen, it's so annoying when you go to somebody and be like, oh my gosh, did you hear about? Yeah, I know. Well, let me tell you what happened. So, like, even if you know, just pretend like you don't know so I can tell you. Like, one time for your mind. But yeah, that's I hope I was able to help someone tonight with my words of wisdom that I'm spitting right now. I probably won't remember everything that I said, which is why I probably need to watch this episode back, because I need those words to infiltrate my mind as well. Because also, you know, sometimes I'll be down on myself. I ain't gonna lie. If something not happening as fast as I wanted to happen, I'll be a little mad at myself. But you can't be mad at yourself. You got to be kind to yourself.
Exactly. That's a bullseye. That's a pinpoint. That's a, you know, open shut. To kind of just bridge off what you just said, it's normal to feel like that. So it's good to give yourself grace. And that's something that needs to be spoken of in general more often with everyone, especially in our community, giving ourselves grace, because in the different strands of people in our community, the different strands of blackness, I just made up that phrase, I guess, I don't know, but the different experiences and whatnot, there's so much that we all experience and different ways in how we deal with those experiences. And it's definitely important to not waste energy, stay focused, be empathetic, and give grace to dealing with all of those layers and living all of those layers and battling all those layers. And so, and sometimes it's like, you want to set aside some time to just let loose. That's fine too. It all works.
Absolutely.
So I just want to say thank you very much for joining.
No problem.
Amazing words, amazing discussion, amazing perspective. And what else is coming up on your end, coming up for the rest of the year and beyond with everything?
Well,
with Think Different TV and in my opinion, and your game show and everything, like everything else, and your music. Damn, you know, four things.
Well, Think Different TV is not just a talk show anymore. It is now a brand, and I have a network, and it's every week. So Sunday, in my opinion, with Think Different TV's Lashia, it is on live 97.5 FM. My bros, Donio and Beck, they host a radio show called It's Yours Radio, which is every Sunday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also listen to it on www.live975.com. My segment, in my opinion, is at 5:15. And I always post the replays on my YouTube channel. Then you have on Monday, Think Different TV. Think Different TV is a talk show in which I discuss a social topic, highlight an independent artist, and share financial tips. Is every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Think Different TV YouTube channel, Twitch, Facebook, and Instagram. So I'm streaming on all platforms at once. You can check it out. Make sure when you go to my YouTube channel, Think Different TV, you subscribe, like, share, comment. Make sure you turn on the notification bell so you don't miss out on any new episodes, exclusive interviews, replays of Think Different TV. And then Tuesday is when we have Think Different TV's Player Pass game show.
Woo.
And that is every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Think Different TV YouTube channel. It's a good time. It's good vibes. And, you know, people win money. So if you're someone who wants to be a contestant on Think Different TV's Player Pass, just shoot me a message at LaShia Starr on Instagram. That's LaShiaStar. Or you can hit me up at Think Different TV LLC. That's THINKDIFFERENTTVLLC. Or you can hit me up at TDTV Pop Game Show, spelled just like you hear it, TDTV Pop Game Show on IG. If you want to be a contestant, want to suggest a topic that I could talk about on the show, if you want to suggest an artist that I can play their video of and display for my Think Different TV music video of the week, if you have a financial tip you want me to share with the world, let me know. I am open. I am here. I am black. All right.
I love it. I love it. Facts all day. Now, with that said, I was about to sign off. Bonus right now. With your brand of Think Different TV, where do you speak this into existence? Where are you going to be in 5 years?
In 5 years, Think Different TV's Player Pass will be an actual game show on a channel, and also have an app and have an actual game that you can have at home with cards and stuff like that, family time. Think Different TV, the talk show, will be also something that will be on TV. And if it's not on TV, Roku TV is TV, Amazon Fire TV is yes, TV, is. Hulu yes, is TV, Netflix, you know. And in my opinion, I am looking to continue on with my good bros and keep on bringing you the know in our trending events and topics. And soon I will get to the point where my stuff will be monetized, because we want to make money doing what we're doing, baby. So I want to be monetized, and that is going to happen sooner than 5 years, actually. But definitely in the 5 years time, I will be monetized and I will be making money. And then we're going to look back on this, and then I'll be like, see, JB, I told you I was going to do that. Now give me my $5.
Oh, believe me, I wholeheartedly believe in every single damn thing that you just laid out. I'm here for all of it. Thank you so much, LaShia.
Thank you, JB. I appreciate you.
Can't wait to be featured on your game show. Your content going to be very excited. Thank you for joining and raising awareness to this complex, layered topic that, quite frankly, a lot of people find difficult to talk about. And you just went right on and said your piece, and it was great. So thank you very much. And just JB and LaShia shining off from the other experience. Thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
Hey.